Exactly, 4:30 on this Friday afternoon. Now, on the 25th of September, the 60s Gold Tour comes to town, or more specifically, comes to the Cliffs Pavilion. We're going to play that in a second. We don't want to hear quite yet. The computer's ahead of me at the moment. So on the 25th of September, the 60s Gold Tour comes to town, or more specifically, comes to the Cliffs Pavilion in Southend. On the bill will be The Searchers, Brian Paul and the Tremolos, Wayne Fontana, Gary Puckett and the Union Gap, and PJ Proby. And I'm delighted to say that PJ is on the phone right now. Good afternoon, PJ, and thanks for finding a bit of time in your hectic schedule for talking to us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Tell me, have you kept in touch with a lot of the artists that you were appearing with back in the 60s?
Well, I see them every time we do the Solid Gold Tour. I've done it most of the times. So I wasn't added onto it last year, so I haven't seen the guys in about a year. But we've known each other for 52 years, and one of the main reasons that you feel like you're part of a family is because in our era, we ran around a lot together in nightclubs and everything. We spent a lot of time with each other off stage as much as we did on stage. Artists don't do that anymore.
Yes, yeah, so these artists that you're appearing with, the Searchers, Brian Paul, etc., etc., yeah. You performed with many of those back in the 60s, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Searchers were on my... In the beginning of the 60s, when I 64, they were on my bill as support act, and then when I was thrown out of the country in 66, I did a farewell tour and they were on my bill, and now I was thrown out of theaters for 40 years here.
Really? And, was it as long as that?
Yeah, as long as that. And
You must get tired, sort of continually talking about this story about the split trousers. But I'm going to have to ask you about it again. Was that a deliberate thing you did on stage? Because it happened twice, didn't it?
Well, I haven't even answered what you asked me about. The Searchers brought me back onto the tour scene. But if you don't want a full answer, don't ask me anything.
Yeah, no, I digressed there slightly.
You're doing a politician thing. You're cutting me off before I finish what I'm saying.
I do apologize. No, please carry on. Please carry on what you're saying about the Searchers.
Well, what I'm saying is the Searchers, after 40 years of being banned in 2001, they called and asked me to do a tour with them, and I've been working the theaters ever since. So the Searchers really opened the door for me.
So it must be a very nostalgic feeling every time you meet up with these guys again for another tour.
Oh, it's a great feeling. It's like seeing family again.
Yeah. So can we go back on to the other story? Sorry about that. I cut you off.
That's
You're absolutely
okay.
Right.
No, that's an English habit.
All right, okay. I'm not a politician, but I was probably just a bit over keen there. But yeah, this story, you know, that everybody talks about, does it make you, you know, the fact that people are still talking about it, does it really annoy you?
No, not really, because, see, you can't blame them. They don't really know the truth.
What is the truth? Tell us the truth.
I only found out the truth. You'll probably have to cut this out of your tape, because it's never been allowed to be broadcast the real truth about the split pants and everything. It will be in Beat Magazine this week. I've told them, you know, Tom Jones' son will sue you. He threatened to sue anybody who tells the truth. And so the man who owns the Beat said he'll print the truth. So the truth will actually won't even be coming from me. It'll be coming from Tom and I's minder, Big Patty, who is putting out in his book about what really happened, that, you know, I wasn't thrown off the tour for any ripped pants or anything. I had been thrown off the tour before we even started, before the bus even left for the tour. I'd been bought off the tour by Gordon Mills. Had bought Tom into my place, but he paid Joe Collins a big sum of money to take me off the tour, but the Grades and the Delphonts wouldn't hear of it. They said, nope, we cannot take him off the tour. You know, we got a contract with him, and he's done nothing to be taken off the tour for. And Mary Whitehouse chimed in, don't worry, he's an American, And he will do something to get into my bad books and my books of morals. And so it was all set. Money had been exchanged and accepted to take me off the tour. Now I just had to provide a reason that the public would accept of me being replaced. So when the pants split at the knees, that was enough for Mary Whitehouse to call it
obscene, I guess.
Obscene, yeah. And everything. And obscene, the word obscene was enough for the public to say, yeah, if he's obscene, take him off stage.
Well, that's a really interesting story. And this is going to be in a publication called The Beat, you say, yeah?
The Beat, that'll come out. And they're not afraid of getting sued.
The
story will come out in Big Baddies.
Yeah, I can't wait.
He was standing there when the money exchanged hands.
Right.
And Big Patty was me and Tom's minder. You know, Tom and I are friends and everything. You know, I don't think Tom even knows that ever happened.
Right.
Even after all these years, I don't think Tom knows that he was bought on in my place.
Well, I can't wait to read the whole story when it comes out in this magazine.
And it won't be me that's telling it. It'll be Big Patty that's
okay.
telling.
Okay, we'll look out for that, PJ.
Yeah.
So anyway, getting back to, obviously, we tend to remember you most from the 1960s, but you've done so much since, haven't you? I mean, you've done a few musicals, for example.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jack Good and I started that Othello musical, Catch My Soul, back in Hollywood when I first met him in 63. And it didn't come out until 67. I think he had done it in America with Jerry Lee before, but when he came over here in 70, in 67 to do it, he called me up and just said, "Are you going to do it?" He never asked me, "Will I do anything?" He just said, "Are you doing it or not?"
And you did it, of course.
Yeah, I said, of course.
So that must have been a totally different sort of sensation to just appearing.
Well, see, Jack in Hollywood had coached me in how to play Cassio in Othello, and so I had an advantage that he had trained me long, long before it came to the stage. So I didn't have any problem with that.
Okay, and you've also appeared in Elvis the Musical, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was really easy because I had known Elvis since I was 14 or 15. And he went with my sister, and then in Hollywood I did his demo work for his motion pictures, and I played against him, against his football team. I was on Ricky Nelson's team. Elvis could never understand why we were winning all the time. Every time he'd pass to Red West or to Sonny, I just nipped the ball out of the air and sprint for a touchdown. Elvis didn't know that when I graduated from high school, I had a scholarship to the University of Missouri in American football.
He kept
saying, "Watch a barefoot boy, watch a barefoot boy. Where have I known that? Where have I seen him before? Watch that barefoot boy."
You've got so many stories to tell. You've not written an autobiography, have you?
Yes, I have.
You
I
have? Okay.
The publisher.
Because I was going to say, you've got so many tales to tell. I'm sure it would be a fascinating autobiography.
Well, Random House said wouldn't publish it. It went to Random House. They said it was too long at 500 pages.
That is pretty long, isn't it? But
no, 300 like they like wouldn't get me from the toilet to the front door in my life.
Okay, I can believe it from what you've said so far on it.
Yeah.
You've appeared, obviously it's difficult for me to cover everything. In fact, I can't cover everything, but you've appeared on stage with Van Morrison. I found that quite intriguing. What sort of experience was that?
Well, Van I've known for 52 years. I first met Van when I was had some friends called the Rocking Vickers, and Lemmy, the singer who just died, was the lead singer of that then. And one day they came to me in Blackpool and said, "Would you like to join us in a football match against another pub?" So I was out there going to play football with them, and I'm not really good at English football soccer.
Yeah, nor the English players. The English players are pretty terrible as well.
I am so sad about that. Good Lord. I just joined the ranks of Sad Sack there. But, no, every time I kicked the ball, it went in the stands. Because I'm so used to American football, like rugby-type stuff. And so this guy came over with long blonde hair, and he said, "PJ, if you sit the game out, I'll give you a crate of beer to sit the game out. And that was Van Morrison. And that's how we met. He had blonde hair down to his shoulders then.
Yeah, yeah. I'd love to talk to you for ages, PJ, but sadly time has caught up with us. Just wanted to plug again the fact that you're going to be... Because the newest venue to us, I'm actually in a place called Brentwood, and you're coming to Southend. You appeared in Southend before or not?
Oh, yeah. Yes, many times.
Well, I'm just down the road. I'm about sort of 20 miles from Southend, so that's the nearest gig to us.
Uh-huh.
And let me just give the date again. It's the 25th of September. And you're on the bill with The Searchers, Brian Paul and the Tremolos, Wayne Fontana and Gary Parker. And I think the tour starts just a couple of days before that, doesn't it? I think it starts sort of 22nd, 23rd of September, I believe.
I'm not too sure.
Yeah, I think it does.
22nd or 23rd?
Somewhere around there.
23rd, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Been great to talk to you. I'd love to, when you're in Brentwood, you must come in and we'll have a proper chat, you know, when you're
at come to the show. When you see a big Winnebago there with black letters, Uncle Billy.
I will definitely try and come and see it.
Knock on the door and come on in and have a drink. I don't drink anymore. I haven't had a drink in 22 years, but I don't trust a man who doesn't, so I run a wet bar in there and I just drink orange juice.
Okay, well, thanks for the invitation. I did actually go and see The Searchers a while ago. They were doing a gig all by themselves in a place called Colchester, so I went to see them.
Yeah.
And it'd be nice to see them again. They were really good. I really enjoyed them.
Oh, they're great.
So, yeah, I'll try and get along. 25th of September.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thanks, PJ, for chatting to us today.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye. PJ Proby there. And, of course, you may have heard me play a couple of bars, accidentally, actually, of that classic hit he had back in the 1960s. Let's hear the whole thing now.
When you're near me, I feel so romantic. When you're far away, I'm always blue. If you want me to remain romantic, here are all the things you'll have to do.
He sounded quite a carry, didn't he, PJ there? Unfortunately, only on the phone, so we had to make do with slightly inferior quality there because on the phone, but interesting stories there. We'll have to get that one onto our website, and maybe I can track him down when he appears in Southend in September and have a slightly better quality, technically speaking, interview with him. Anyway, good for him to spend a bit of time with us. And, of course, that was his classic 60s hit. He's had a few hits apart from that one, but that's the one that I think most people remember him by, a song called Hold Me.